Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Over the season of Christmas, we've been hearing the Christmas story, the faithfulness of Mary, who heard the promises of God and trusted in them, bearing a son that would be the Savior of the world, and then how faithful Joseph protected his family, bringing them into the land of Egypt in order that they might be preserved and then brought out later. And then we see the continued faithfulness of this holy family, as our text said at the beginning, going to Jerusalem to observe the Passover each and every year. And then it is in their observation of the Passover when Jesus was 12 years old that our text comes from today. And this is a well-known text. Maybe had this in Sunday school back in the day. It's kind of a exciting and maybe even a little bit funny story when you know how it ends. But you can also just feel the anxiety of the parents when they know that their son is lost. You can feel them hurrying around. You can feel them racing back to Jerusalem, still not knowing where he is. But then this feeling of anxiety, not knowing where they accidentally placed the Son of God, just goes right up against the calmness that Jesus is exhibiting when they find him. And how did that go? He was sitting there among the teachers, listening, answering their questions, and all were amazed as he sat there in the temple, hearing and speaking the word of God. And Mary and Joseph are still a little bit anxious even when they find him. Son, why have you done this to us? Don't you know that we were searching for you? But then Jesus responds in a calm and seemingly just natural way. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And another way you could translate that, I must be in my Father's house, is it is necessary that I would be in my Father's house. Do you not know that it is necessary that I'm in my Father's house? So Mary and Joseph searched all around for him. And Jesus, sitting there in the temple, speaks of it as if it's the most obvious and natural thing in the entire world. Did you not know that it was necessary, or I must be in my Father's house? And that's really the message that our text has for us today. It is necessary. It is obvious that Jesus would be in the temple, his Father's house, hearing and speaking the word of God. And then in the same way, it is necessary, obvious, for those who belong to him that they would also be in the Father's house hearing and speaking the word of God to those who are around them. So that's the message that our text has for us today. Because you belong to Jesus, you belong in the Father's house. Because you belong to Jesus, you belong in the Father's house. So think about all the ways that it really is truly necessary, obvious that Jesus would be in the temple. What holiday were they going there to celebrate? The Passover. And then as St. Paul will say later in the book of Romans, after Christ's death and resurrection, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Raised from the dead, he will never die again. So they go into the temple, they go into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and Jesus is what the Passover lamb was pointing forward to. He's the one that all the sacrifices in the temple were pointing forward to, the true sacrifice that would take away the sins of all the world. Isn't it necessary? Isn't it obvious that he would be there in the temple? And then think about also what we know about who Jesus is. This is what we declared in the gospel reading on Christmas Day from John chapter 1, that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God took on human flesh and dwelt among us. So then where else would he be besides all the teachers in the temple hearing them, listening to them, in speaking to them, asking them questions. Think about that image for a second. The eternal Word of God, through whom all things were made, then just is sitting there discussing things with all the pastors and teachers. Maybe if you've ever thought, when you're reading your Bible, I really wish I could just have a conversation with Jesus to ask more questions about this. That's what those people got on that very day. It's amazing. It's wonderful that the Word of God took on human flesh and then was hearing and speaking the Word of God in the temple. And what did it say? Everybody was looking at this little 12-year-old child who shouldn't really know anything. And they're amazed at what he knows and what he understands. And they're amazed at his questions. And this is going to be a common theme throughout all of Jesus' ministry. He teaches the crowds in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And at the end of Matthew chapter 7, it says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching." Why? Because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. He was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. When Jesus speaks, it is the very Word of God. When the scribes were speaking, they could only interpret what had been handed down to them as the Word of God. So this is really the amazing thing about the temple on that day, that the very Word of God spoke. On the surface, it just looks like a little child who shouldn't know anything, but then even when he speaks as one who has authority, because he is the very Word of God made flesh. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And like I had just said before, Jesus is saying here, it is necessary, obvious, he must be in his Father's house. What other place would he rather be? What other place would you expect the Son to be than in the Father's house, hearing the Father's word? The place where the gifts of God are given, the forgiveness of sins are given, where the Word of God is spoken, this is where the Son of God would be, obviously. And look at the pattern of Jesus throughout his whole life, from childhood to adulthood. His parents brought him to Jerusalem year after year for the Feast of the Passover, as faithful believers would have. We see how Jesus found it to be necessary, obvious, for him to be in the temple, hearing the Word of God. And then also think about how much Jesus prays throughout his earthly ministry. When you read the Gospels, you see that all over the place. Jesus goes off by himself to pray. Jesus prays in the presence of other people. Jesus is always praying. And sometimes maybe you would read that and say, why does Jesus have to be praying all the time if he is God, if he is the Son of God? Doesn't he already have enough of a close connection to God? That's maybe how we would be thinking, because that's how we think sometimes. I'm close enough to God, so I don't really need to pray that much. I already have that connection, so I don't need to continue it on each and every day. I mean, that would be overkill. That's the way we think sometimes. But that's not the way Jesus thinks at all. He who is actually true God in the flesh, the exact imprint of his nature, what's he doing? He's praying all the time. He's hearing the Word of God all the time. He does not consider himself to be too close to God to pray or to hear the Word of God. Rather, he fully recognizes the need of all humans to hear the Word of God and to pray. Like he says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus, as the perfect man, knows this for sure, that we all must have the Word of God. We must receive the Word of God. We must pray continually. We need it. And Jesus demonstrates this in his own life with his own hearing the word of God and his own prayer. And then what about you and I today? You belong to Christ. You are in Christ. This is what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried with him, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So Jesus has suffered, died, risen again, so we can have the forgiveness of sins in him. And he has risen from the dead in order that we might have life in him. So everything about him is ours. Everything about his life becomes the same about our life. His life becomes our life. And that's what he says to us in John 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." He goes to prepare a place for you in heaven so that where he is, you may be also forever. Because he has forgiven your sins, you can be in the Father's house. You can stand before the Father because you are righteous, perfect, forgiven, washed clean by the blood of Christ. You can go into the Father's house and you can call him Father like Jesus encourages you to in the Lord's Prayer. And all of this happens because of the blood of Christ. And because you have been joined to Christ, where Christ is, there you are. When Christ is in heaven, you will be in heaven. When Christ lives, you live. So therefore, since this is necessary for our eternal life, where Christ goes, we will go for eternity. This is also true for our earthly life as well. Where Christ is, there we shall be also. And where is that? That is in the church, where Christ gives himself to you in the word and in the sacraments. When Jesus says, "I must be in my Father's house, it is necessary for me to be in my Father's house," he says, "Where I am, you shall be also. You must also be in the Father's house. It is necessary for you to be in the Father's house." And this also includes hearing the word of Christ at all times in our life, at home. This includes praying without ceasing day after day, all the days of our life. And whatever things that we might tell ourselves or things people might say about why they don't need to hear the word of God, or why they don't need to be in church, I have a connection with God already. I already have a connection with God out in nature, so I don't need to come to church. People say these kinds of things all the time. There are lots of things that are said, such as, "I don't have enough time to hear the word of God. I don't have enough time to go to church." We realize that all these things we might say really just don't even make sense. They pale in comparison to the gift that is given in church. Because what is given in church? It's Christ giving himself. Christ giving his own word. Christ giving his own body and blood on the altar. Christ giving himself to you and joining you to himself in holy baptism. Think about what Jesus says. "I must be in my Father's house." It's not a question of, do I have to? As if it's some kind of box that just needs to be checked off and then I just go about with my business. It's not some kind of legalistic thing that's just beating us over the head constantly day after day. No, it is purely a gift. It's as necessary for us as breathing or eating. You don't really hear people saying, "Do I really have to breathe? Do I really have to eat?" We should have that same mentality about hearing the word of God. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 119, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So the question is not, do I have to go to church? Do I have to read my Bible? Do I have to pray? We can flip that completely. I get to go to church. I get to hear the word of God. I get to pray. Think about it that way. I get to go to the place where the God of the universe meets me here on earth. And he speaks his word to me. And he gives himself to me for the strengthening of my faith. I get to hear the word of the very God of the entire universe who created the heavens and earth. And he has a word for me specifically. And he says, I love you and I forgive your sins. I get to hear that message. And then not, do I have to pray, but the God of the universe has opened his ear to my needs, my concern. And he says, tell me. I truly, genuinely want to hear and I promise to hear. Dear Christians, think of these wonderful and magnificent gifts that are given to you and given to Christ's church. It's only natural that we would want to receive these things. Be here. This word of Christ is your message of salvation. This word of Christ is your great heritage. It is God himself speaking to you and giving you life. So until that day comes where we go to be with Jesus in heaven forever, dwell in the Father's house here and hear that word so that you might receive life and that message of the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.